Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Back to the speed limit. Two hands on the wheel. I've got a sound for you, but first, I'm your girl, Janae Ogumike, here with Mike Golic Jr. here on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests, join us via the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Now, before we get to tonight's lineup and the sound that I love to drop, what did the Queen, Christine Lisi, just break down for us?
Yeah, so you just heard it there in the SportsCenter update. Major League Baseball announcing a postponement tonight. Jeff Passan tweeted this about 12 minutes ago, the awful air quality in Seattle postponing tonight's game between the Mariners and Giants, and obviously the West Coast wildfires have come up a lot, and going forward with Major League Baseball, Chiney, it becomes especially important because Major League Baseball had announced a postseason bubble format for their playoff games, and those games on the AL side were going to be played in two locations. The ALDS would be in San Diego and Los Angeles, both notably areas obviously affected like a lot of the West Coast is, as you know, being out in Los Angeles by what's going on with the fires. And our own Jeff Passan tweeted out that with the fires Phoenix has been an area that's emerged as a primary backup option if Major League Baseball would need to move any of its postseason games as that becomes more and more prescient. So something to keep an eye on there, but seeing the effects of those fires that have certainly made a difficult time for so many people and a lot of understandable concern bleeding over into the world of sports and Major League Baseball.
Yeah, being here in Los Angeles, it's just really been different just because you can see what's happening, and this is something that's taken over the West Coast, and it's sort of like 2020. It just throws another curveball, no pun intended, but hope everyone stays safe out there. But speaking of Los Angeles, obviously we're super excited because what do we have? Do we have finally?
Uh-oh. Say it now.
We have a must-win game in the NBA playoffs, obviously Game 7. We're so excited for that matchup. But first, you know, ESPN Radio will present the first game, Heat-Celtics Game 1 of the East. But of course, we're all looking forward to the nightcap, I guess. Yeah, nightcap.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on my side, even though it's sort of like afternoon cap for me in LA. Nuggets-Clippers, which begs the question, you know, with so many talented players out there that we thought this series would have been, you know, wrapped up a couple games before, but now we're here in a must-win game for either the Clippers or the Nuggets. Who do you think, Mike, is under most pressure right now? Under more pressure, especially considering Kawhi is trying to come for the title, come for the crown, literally, advance to play the Lakers. Paul George is sort of on a redemption tour. And then Doc Rivers, you have that interesting stat about how he's sort of not gotten over the hump.
Yeah, Doc Rivers, the only coach in the NBA's history to blow multiple 3-1 leads in the playoffs, going back to 2015 in the Western Conference semis and the Magic in 2003. It's weird, Chiney. I look at this and I probably say Paul George just because he seems to be the one in that group that we're always waiting around to see the bad thing happen. We were all ready and waiting with playoff P jokes earlier in the postseason before he shut everybody up, because we talked about this earlier. For some reason, we don't do this with Kawhi because his reputation largely seems sterling, and I feel like Doc Rivers falls into that same camp where he's so well respected around the league, especially after his time in Boston, that we don't really lump a lot of this on him despite that dubious stat that I just read.
You know, it's funny because we think about the Lakers, and this is who you advance to play, like the Nuggets or the Clippers advance to play the Lakers, and when we talk about LeBron James, there's such a sense of urgency for him winning a title now considering he's 35 years old. But for LA, because these guys are younger, and I want to say that Kawhi is not too much, he might be younger than us or our age, hold on, he is 29 years old, so he's
what?
Older than me, he's younger than you.
Wait, okay? What? Kawhi, yeah. Leonard is 29 years old?
That's what people forget.
Why do I feel like, I mean, you know what it is? It's because Kawhi looks and conducts himself like he's showing up for a Blue Plate special, right?
I'm done. Wait, what? is Blue Plate Lubies?
What?
Wait, what is Blue?
What
sorry.
Is Lubies?
First of all, wait, hold on. You don't know what Lubies is?
I am concerned.
What? You don't know what Lubies is?
I have no idea what you
Lubies
just mentioned
is. Like, Lubies is a diner / restaurant that is catered to the elderly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I mean, listen.
The food is so good, it welcomes all.
Listen, first off, most diners welcome all. Second off, yes, we are both going to the same thing. Kawhi Leonard is for sure eating breakfast with old people.
Wait, I'm sorry. I have to ask the group. Cliff, Dev, Shannon, do you guys know Lubies or no? No?
I've never heard of Lubies before in my life.
Never heard
of
it.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. But either way, you know, this is a team, you know, the Clippers, that I think there's a lot of expectations because they seem like the team that can you know, succeed despite any situation, right? No distraction shouldn't matter when it comes to Kawhi. Paul George is talented enough to be a top number two. They've got boosts off the bench. It's sort of like, who do you put the blame to? I think Paul George has taken a lot of criticism, but it's on all of them tonight.
Well, and it's because Paul George is the only one in that group that doesn't have the hardware to back up what a lot of people want out of these guys' resumes. It's Shane Angle Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and it's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because you and I both land on Paul George, I think largely for that same reason. He seems like one of those guys we are ready and waiting for on this. Stephen A. goes a route that I am not really familiar with people doing and saying this actually goes much more towards Kawhi Leonard and the pressure on his shoulders.
As far as I'm concerned, everything. It's a legacy game for him. Not if he wins, but if he loses. This would be very, very bad for Kawhi Leonard. Listen, he had 25 and 8 and 5 the last game, but he was a relatively modest 8 of 18 from the field. He had key turnovers. He missed shots he normally makes. They made mistakes he normally wouldn't in this game 6. And let me tell you something right now, with Denver being down 3-1 and playing the way that they played, coming back to tie this series 3-3, This is the time. I don't know if Kawhi Leonard has ever been under more pressure than he is tonight.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Shanae, I couldn't disagree more. I feel like we hear Bruce Arians all the time say no risk it, no biscuit. I feel like it is no risk it, all biscuit for Kawhi Leonard at this point. I feel like there's only adding to his resume because, again, whether it's because he came up with the Spurs, whether it's because he's with the Clippers now that are always going to be the less pressured franchise in Los Angeles, or because he gradually grew into stardom and wasn't some child prodigy the way LeBron was, none of it seems to ever reflect negatively on Kawhi, and I think it's an amalgamation of all those reasons.
Yeah, I agree. You know, when you have a championship in one system and another championship in another system, and you're like this close, you've already in year one, we always talk about how hard year one is to sort of get all the healthy people together and just play and build that chemistry. And if there's one team that has done it on the most limited amount of time, I think entering last week or so, the Clippers have had 33 different starting lineups. For them to still figure it out now, I know we're at game 7, but they've done quite well relative to who's been available, who's been out there, and who they've been working with.
But wasn't depth supposed to be their calling card? Like, wasn't the way this team was built supposed to get you through situations like that?
Absolutely. So that's why I feel like it's not necessarily pressure on Kawhi. It's more so pressure on everyone to do their job. Like, literally, you're talking about Bruce Arians, let's talk about Bill Belichick. Do your job. Lou Will, come in and provide, you know, something closer, hopefully. I think he was shooting, like, 2-for-21, like, horribly from distance so far. That's so uncharacteristic. Get closer to what your average is. Montrezl Harrell, similarly. Like, this is a guy who just got Sixth Man of the Year. You know, do your job and come out there and provide that energy, getting extra possessions. And also, lock down defensively. Maybe you can't go pound-for-pound with a Jokic, but maybe you can use your speed and athleticism to sort of slow him down in different pockets. Paul George, do what you always do, but also the plus minus has to be better. So maybe pick your spots a little bit better. And all Kawhi Leonard has to do is do what he's always done as well. And I know it's not been the dominant faction that we've seen it explosively, but it's game 7, and this is when he really shows out. We learned that last year, and we'll see it again tonight.
I feel like this is a situation, though, where Kawhi can look around and say, yeah, I'm going to be the consistent force here, and I got mine. Like, the pressure's on the Clippers organization. Capitalize now, or how long does this last? We know that this doesn't necessarily have to be a long-term home for Kawhi or Paul George in this situation. Like, if you're the Clippers and you're trying to grab any shred of relevancy, you went through one of the better rosters we had ever seen with that DeAndre Jordan, Chris Paul,
yes,
and Blake Griffin
Lob
team
City
back in the day, that Lob City crew that ultimately couldn't get through the ceiling in the Western Conference Finals. And so if you're the Clippers, this is the pressure here. And even then, as I say that, is anyone in Los Angeles actually going to care that much if the Clippers never burst through all this?
I think we will, just because we want that rivaled matchup. We want that Western Conference Finals between the Lakers and the Clippers, because that's been the story of the season, especially after the offseason, the free agency move. Like, that was, you know, Kawhi was recruited to come to LA, you know, the Lakers side, not the Clippers. And then it surprised us with the Clippers. And then he brings in Paul George. So the narrative makes for this amazing Western Conference Finals. But shout out to the Nuggets for throwing a wrench into that narrative. Shout out to Jamal Murray and also Nikola Jokic for all of them, you know, working so hard and forcing 4 games 7s in the postseason. That's amazing. But I think it all does not rely on the shoulders of Kawhi. I think we've come to realize that this is a unit, like Doc, the bench, and the stars have to deliver because that's what it takes to beat the Nuggets.
You mentioned the Nuggets and what they've done here. The first team to win by double digits after trailing by 15 or more at the half in playoff history. And the first team with three 15-point comebacks in elimination games in a postseason since 1997. So they've already battled through so much. Hell, what's a Game 7 to that crew at this point? Chinna and Golic Jr. reminding you the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as Kemba Walker and the Celtics battle the Heat. Heat Culture, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. But coming up next today, I spent all morning making myself miserable because of one group of people who want to continue to spin you the same old tired tracks about a song that's changed. We'll get to that next. It's Chinna and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Chinna and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Big night in the NBA, WNBA playoffs starting in the Wubble, wrap things up for week one in the NFL. College football, you know, has kicked off, but for some in college football, the soap opera continues, right, Junior?
It never stops, and it is leaking over into Congress, which is terrifying.
Oh, goodness. Chinna and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr. here on Chinna and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Reminding you that Chinna and Golic Jr., make sure you check out ESPN Audio at Home by telling Alexa to play news from ESPN. ESPN Audio at Home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. I don't know if you're ready for everything that comes out of college football, because if it was a soap opera, Junior, I feel like it'd probably be The Young and the Restless, right?
That might be the nicest way that we can put this, Chinna, because it is certainly The Young involving young athletes, but The Restless seems to be everyone else in this system that's been full-blown chaos since the season started, as disjointed as it's been. But you know how this goes, Chinna, is we see the world through the lens of where we came from in the locker rooms, where you go through there, and as a college athlete, you're used to the rigid systems. You go through this, and you're just trying to get to where you ultimately wanted to go. You wanted to play high-level basketball. I wanted to play high-level football. Wanted to play professionally in this, and so you got goals in that process.
Yep.
And then you get out of it, and you kind of get the chance to see the 30,000-foot view, and we don't always like what we see from there.
Yeah, it's just too – you know what it feels like? Too many cooks in the kitchen. There's not one unified voice. There's not someone that can check. You know, it's funny. We play sports and we have coaches and we know you cannot question the coach. And you know that they have the best intentions for you as a player to develop. But who does that for the system, right? Like, that's the question that needs to be answered. And I don't know if we'll ever get that answer.
I don't know if we will ever get that answer. But we did get one little leak of what might come up. And I want to get to it in a little something that we call one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
And Chinna, we had an interesting little slip up. So one thing I certainly want to get to is this morning, the U.S. Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions met to discuss the future of compensating college athletes. The NCAA has been trying to get Congress to come in here and make sure that all this name, image, and likeness legislation that's been going on at the state level gets some federal help to basically give the NCAA and the Power Five and everyone a nice backstop as kids maybe get the chance to make money going forward. But it got interesting this morning with a little hot mic situation. Our own Heather Dinich, ESPN college football reporter, summed up the update on the Big Ten vote that we got somewhat accidentally today.
The Big Ten has not responded to this. They've said no comment about it, but I can tell you that sources have told us that coming out of the meeting, October 17th was a potential start date that was presented to the presidents and chancellors for their consideration. You know, we expect something later tonight based on what Nebraska's president first said. So we'll see if it's a yay or a nay, but in order for it to happen, nine of them have to approve the return. Nine of the 14 have to approve the return by Big Ten bylaws, which means six of them would have to change their minds from the last time they voted.
Now, this was separate from what went on with Congress today. This was before a small news conference on Tuesday morning, but Ted Carter, the University of Nebraska president, did get caught on a hot mic saying, quote, "We're getting ready to announce the Huskers and Big Ten football tonight," said Carter in a conversation with Bob Hinson, the director of the National Strategic Research Institute. So, as we have learned working in this job today, when you are near a microphone and a podium, why does this seem like the time when you would announce these things?
The only hot mic that makes me comfortable is the one I'm sitting across from, or at least looking directly at.
Hey, wow. All right. Hit hey. The air horns with her. That one's awesome. Get the hell out of there. What are we doing? Why are we not showing that love? Hell yeah.
I'd rather just, you know, lift us up here, because I feel like anytime we start talking about name, image, likeness, it just drags us down.
It really is wild, Chiney. So, like I said, that group was meeting in Congress today to talk about what everyone seems so afraid of, because we know pay for play has long been a discussion in the NCAA. We've heard all the different scenarios and that, how difficult, and I don't begrudge that. It's a complicated thing if you were talking about a true pay model. But name, image, and likeness, allowing athletes in college to make money during a time where some of them may never be more marketable, that somehow seems to be a problem with everybody who brings up all these red herring situations. Ohio State track and field coach Karen Dennis was one of the people that was testifying as part of this group, says she's concerned that the prospect of athletes being able to get name, image, and likeness money will result in financial problems that will lead schools to drop teams, which in turn will result in U.S. Olympic teams being decimated. This was also coupled with Senator Mitt Romney proposing the idea that athletes individually keep all their name, image, and likeness money, but only up to, quote, maybe $50,000 a year. And Chiney, it just gets so exhausting because no one can keep their argument straight in this. Like, name, image, and likeness isn't pulling from all that school fund money. Yeah, you could argue maybe some of the big shoe deals, if they're going out to guys, might take a little bite out of that. But even that has no actual proof behind it in this situation. When you bring up the idea of capping a guy at 50 grand a year, huh? I thought so many people were telling me that a lot of these dudes weren't going to make but a couple of $1,000s over the course of this. Which side are they on? They can never seem to figure out, because it's all just fear and reaction to the nerve of, oh, wait a minute, the group that's been getting so little for so long relative to the rest of us all of a sudden realize that maybe they can get a little bit more in here and it might be okay, unless you're everybody else apparently in this process that wants to keep making it about something different. Ugh. Sorry. Oh.
Hey, I don't know if you can hear me.
I can. Can you hear me? We got so hot in this that we blew the speakers out on that one.
You went so hard, you dropped my mic.
We went so hard in the paint. It just gets frustrating after a while. We'll get this fixed, and we'll try and see if anyone can get what's going on with the NCAA and really Congress in that situation fixed. But coming up next, we also got to get to Dan Orlovsky, who's fallen in love with Aaron Rodgers all over again. We want to reward love stories around here, because Dan Orlovsky had someone very close to him this weekend let him down. We'll tell you who that was next after this word from TuneIn. As the NFL season gets underway, make sure you're ready everywhere that you go with TuneIn and ESPN Radio. Hear in-depth analysis of your favorite team all season long. Plus, you can fuel your fandom by listening to ESPN's biggest football podcasts on TuneIn, including the Adam Schefter podcast, the Fantasy Focus Football podcast, and the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. Download the free TuneIn app and start listening today. Back after this, it's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Okay. Okay, you all know that we love here. We're here for relationships both on and off the field. Breaking news, actually, when it comes to Cardi B, but I guess we'll go back to my day job because I'm trying to keep it here. Chiney Ogunwoke here with Mike Golic Jr. on Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests show up via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And speaking of guests, so many interesting quarterback matchups week one. We had to bring in Uncle Dan. So excited. He's goals. He's a married man. He's got a beautiful fam. His kids, I don't think, know who Giannis is, but it's okay. We still stand. I saw the video. Super cute. That makes up for it. But Dan, we had so many cool quarterback matchups. I know that's where your eye is drawn to, considering you are one. Or I guess, yeah, we all are still in our prime here, being young ones. Let's talk Daniel Jones first. Obviously, he struggled. He's young, has a lot of potential. But I said earlier, it's sort of like you see two steps forward and then one step back. What did you assess of his, you know, his first outing this first week one?
Yeah, Chiney, I thought the complete opposite. I would say he was one of the three best players on the field last night. And that's a lot from me, because I was critical of the draft pick. I would say this. The number one thing that I talked about with Daniel Jones going into this season was, what was the arm like? I'm not this big arm strength person, but at some points in the NFL, it matters, especially when you're going to play against a really good defense that'll play some zone coverage, they'll put eyes on you, and force you to fit the ball into tight windows. He lit up the Steelers' zone coverage, and he was in complete control for 98% of that game. Now, the T.J. Watt interception, I'll be honest with you. I promise you, they're watching that clip with him and Jason Garrett, and they're going to go, tough break, man. Like, that's just a great play by T.J. Watt. That's not this stupid, like, dumb decision. It's just a really good play by Watt. The pick that Cam Hayward gets on the 19-play drive, listen, I've been there. I've seen great players make that mistake where, like, you're just in that moment where you're like, oh, my gosh, I can get the ball away. And it's a tenth of a second or a fraction of a second late. The ball goes fluttering in the air. Other than that, he stood in the pocket really well. He used his eyes to move people really well. I thought he threw the ball incredibly accurate. So I'll be honest with you. I'd walk away from that game going, like, okay, I feel way better than I anticipated if Daniel Jones is my quarterback and I'm a Giants fan.
Talking to ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with the new Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. And, Dan, we got a lot of very happy Giants fans on the staff here, but I want to look at the other side of the field. Ben Roethlisberger, his first game back after the injury last year. For all the expectations that we have for this Pittsburgh team, provided he looks like his old self, how do you measure game one for him after what seemed like kind of a slow start last night?
I thought it was outstanding. I mean, yes, slow start, but that's everybody in the world is going to have a slow start if they haven't done anything in, I don't know, 18 months or something like that. You know, like, it's been a long time since Big Ben was playing real live bullets flying tackle football. And so the fact that he did what he did last night after last year's injury, no offseason, no preseason reps, and for him to take, I don't know, a quarter to feel comfortable and then start to deal and start to see, like, the movement. Just, I'm not talking about the scrambling, but just, like, the way he maneuvers the pocket almost very, like, for such a guy that's so big, very gracefully. And then, you know, you started to see confidence build. You see two back shoulder throws. The throw to Claypool, who, side note, I know you know this, but I told people he was going to be a baller in the NFL, and obviously I'm sure you did as well. Like, that throw to Claypool is vintage sandlot backyard football where you just drop it in over a defender. And so if that's Big Ben coming back after being out for a really, 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 really long time, the Steelers are the team that I think they're going to be.
Yeah, Dan, you're absolutely right, because given the climate we're in, it makes sense for like a grace period, especially when you say slow starts. But it was interesting, on one of the 5011 shows you're on daily, you were talking about how, you know, after the matchup, you know, Bucks Saints, how you were actually more concerned with Drew Brees than Tom Brady. And I think we always throw out, you know, Tom Brady's age being 43, but Drew Brees is 41. What got you to that point?
Well, just the lack of arm out of Drew, that's obviously been a conversation over the past couple of years. It's like, how do they preserve Drew's arm, especially into the back half of the season? And that's why I said, like, last year, he goes through that five-week stretch where he doesn't play because of the injury and his arm was fresher. And then you watch the game the other day and you're like, man, how are they going to manufacture explosive plays and who are they going to manufacture it with? Because, you know, the misnomer about Brees and the Saints is that they're like this dink and dunk offense. Historically, they're not. They're actually a team who pushes the ball downfield with four vertical routes or big play action passes. And just watching the ball come off his hand, you're going, it doesn't look like that's going to sustain for a very long time or be able to create much offense for them. And then watching it back on tape, you feel the same way. Now, he's still going to be really good and he'll still be incredibly accurate. But when you get to the back half of the season and then more than likely into the playoffs, to really win those games, you've got to create big plays. They swing games so much. And I just don't see how the Saints are going to be able to do that. And conversely with Tom, I'll be honest with you guys. Besides three or four plays, Tom was awesome. He was awesome. Now, the interceptions are going to be something that he will erase quickly in his game. And I'm sure they had some very pointed conversations on Monday and Tuesday watching tape, but I walk away going, first time playing in a new offense in 20 years, 20 years, and you still did that on the road against a really good Saints defense. I expect that offense to kind of light years in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Dan Orlovsky with us, as he will be every week during the NFL season on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Dan, I know over the last couple of years you've sort of been synonymous with Carson Wentz, especially around this time slot. And I'm curious, you were very critical of some of the decision-making elements you saw from him this weekend. What's he got to iron out and quickly here for this Eagles season to turn around after a rough start?
It just needs to go back to what he did last year, Mike. I mean, last year it was a very similar situation to what he had on Sunday. They were depleted. And when you're depleted, it depends on who your opponent is. If they had played, you know, I don't know, let's say the Bucks or the Saints, I would have gone like, man, eventually you're just, your hands are tied too much. But the only way they win that game, Washington, is if you give it to them. And so he's got to go, kind of go back to last year's mentality, understanding you don't need to be Superman. You can be Clark Kent at times. The great plays will present themselves. The great talents will execute when those great plays present themselves. I know that there's, see, sometimes there's these cliche terms in football of take what the defense gives you. Don't try to make a play. The play will be made by itself. But those sometimes are true. You know, like sometimes you just can throw a check down or throw the ball away or take the easy 1 yard completion and go, hey, receiver, you get paid too. Go make a play. And so I think he just needs to understand, like, take a deep breath. You've walked this journey before. You've done this before. And understand, like, he's good enough. There's 70 snaps in a game. There's going to be six or eight plays where his talent and his competitiveness will be able to shine. It doesn't have to happen every single play. And especially if you're looking forward to this week and they've got Aaron Donald, you better understand, like, the ball better get out. And the two ways that you're going to hurt your football team is if you try to go one-on-one with Aaron Donald, you'll lose. Or if you try to make something happen every single play, it'll hurt your team.
You can check him out as a part of NFL Live every day at 4 Eastern here on ESPN. Dan, we appreciate the time, brother.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, guys.
I'm glad Dan brought that back up because we talked about this the other day coming off that Saints and Tampa Bay matchup. Tom Brady, for people that wanted to slander a lot of what happened there, and Lord knows Bruce Arians had some pointed comments about a number of players on that roster. Tom Brady was lights out throwing deep balls, which is like Bruce Arians' love language. He loves to push the ball downfield, and it was either completions or pass interference penalties on dime balls from Tom Brady. And so I'm 100% with Dan on that one. The concern, as we discussed, was way more on the Saints side with their quarterback.
Yeah, and if you think about, especially with Tom, you know, now having some separation, the two major mistakes, the two interceptions, are all correctable. Like, just communication with Mike Evans and then also not throwing the ball behind. Was it behind? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was behind.
It was right, a little bit behind. Yeah. So, like, those are two correctable things. So he's absolutely right. Maybe we shouldn't worry too much about Tom. It's going to take some time for them to gel.
It is. And we talked about that way off the top with Ben Roethlisberger, that grace period there. That's for a guy who spent his entire career with an organization in Steelers yes. that has that knowledge, albeit coming off of an injured season. So, awesome stuff there. Like we said, Dan will join us each and every week during the NFL season. But coming up next, we got to get everybody ready. Our last segment before we take you up to game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, the Heat and the Celtics, and keep the energy you need for game seven and the Saucy Nugs. We'll get to that next. It's Chanay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chanay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Oh, yeah. This reminds me of running out of the tunnel at Staples Center. But too bad, it's in the bubble this time around.
A little bit different energy.
Yeah, it is. The song hits the same, though. The song definitely hits the same. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals coming up right after this. And a must-win game, game seven in the West. It's your girl, Chanay Ogwumike, your guy, Michael Jr. here on Chanay Ogwumike Jr. But first, let's talk about love, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Sarah Spain, I'm going to keep singing it because Singer told me I could, okay? Too much energy is happening on the timeline, and it starts with no person at ESPN really stands for Cardi, or at least educates people here to who Cardi B is more than you.
That is true, and so we are required to give people the news that they need, even when it is unfortunate. Cliff, if you don't mind, we got to keep some energy right now. It's not always good, but we got to be a part of it. We got to be consistent around here, so go ahead. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chanay and Golic Jr.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. And sad news saw on the timeline earlier today. TMZ reporting that Cardi B has filed for divorce from Offset, obviously a modern romance and one that we've all watched play out. It's got to be weird having your relationship out that public, right, where you're trending on TMZ when stuff like this goes down that's usually deeply private.
And she's really been private about that whole aspect of her relationship. She's like, I've been a public figure. I've been for everybody's consumption. But then now it's like, I have my man, I have my child, and then we're going to go private. And it sort of still happens. So it is disappointing. But that album, though.
Yeah, new album in the works right now. Strange timing on that one. So we certainly wish for the best. Like, we know there's a kid involved in this and culture. And so we wish the best for everybody going forward in that. But we got to report the news. We got to put
absolutely.
Our journalist hats on
yes,
here
absolutely.
Every now and then. Speaking of our journalism hats, we have MLB postseason bubble moves being made. Breaking moves brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. And Janae, apparently they saw how good it worked in the NBA and the WNBA and the NHL and every other sports league that's managed to make it work, actually. Major League Baseball announcing a postseason bubble format for their respective leagues in this one.
You know, I was really, really concerned for a while because I feel like when you start the season, you have this idea, you're like, oh, we're going to go bubble-less, we're going to try this out. And then we saw how rocky it was, you know, to start off the season. They sort of, I guess you can say, relatively hit their stride. They've been able to manage an entire season so far. But to be safe, the most important time is the postseason. So to take these precautions, to me, is very, it's a good look. It's a good look.
It is. The World Series is going to be at Globe Life Park in Arlington, which, again, made news for basically looking like a grill that you would buy at like home, you know, Home Depot or somewhere earlier as it was located. But the retractable roof stadium there, artificial turf adjacent to the Rangers' old ballpark. The American League Championship Series is going to be at Petco Park in San Diego. The National League is going to be at Globe Life Park. The AL Division Series will be in San Diego and Los Angeles. The NL Division Series will be at Globe Life and then also at Houston's Minute Maid Park there. So MLB postseason bubble action agreed to by the league and the Players Association. It is Chidane Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. And Shanae, we had a couple of debuts last night that we were very proud of.
Yes!
Big ups to the ESPN Monday Night Football crews. Yes.
Snaps.
Very cool.
They held it down. It was so much fun. Great energy on both the games.
We had a Monday Night Football doubleheader last night, so we had the Giants and the Steelers in the early game, and that one was called by the crew we normally see around college, Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit, along with our own Maria Taylor on the sideline, who we will get to continuing to heap praise on in just a second here. And then also we had Steve Levy, Louis Riddick, Brian Greasy, and our Lisa Salters, who's been a fixture around there for a while now, making their Monday night debut as the booth that will be the official crew going forward, as well as give it up to producer Phil Dean, a guy who used to work with my dad for so long around here, one of the
yes.
best producers we've got on the football side, making his Monday Night Football
That's
production
huge.
Debut.
That's huge.
It was. But overall, like, really good listens all the way around on that one. I know a lot of people were excited. Seeing the college crew kind of bridge the gap, Janae. We both got backgrounds in college. It's fun to see those worlds collide a little bit.
Yeah, and it's a seamless transition because a lot of the guys they talk about are the guys that they've watched from early days. I thought it was a fun listen, but most importantly, I know after the game, there were some comments that were made on social media that were extremely disappointing, Junior.
Yeah, Chicago radio host Dan McNeil, who I think Reese has already been removed from that position after some comments made about our own Maria Taylor's outfit in this, making some comments about them being more fit for an adult film award or something like that. Just ridiculous stuff in any turn to be saying to any woman in 2020, full stop, period, with a T. But
Thank
second
you.
Off, Maria Taylor's the one you want to come
Don't
for.
Don't try her! Don't try, sis!
Who told you that was a good idea? What bone in your body suggested that that might be the way that you want to live your life?
What did she call him?
Oh, Danny Dearest.
Oh, goodness. You know that's a read when it starts like that.
Mm. That was a wrap. Look, that was rap. One more time.
Maria, you looked good. You looked great.
And more importantly,
send me the jacket so I can wear it next.
It's called fashion, sweetie. Look
Thank
it
you.
Up, Dan. Danny Dearest in that one. And lastly, we'll keep that same energy, Chanae. We got Game 7 going down tonight. We've talked about pressure so much. The two best words in sports, a must win around here. And so we look at it one more time. Clippers or the saucy Nugs? Who you got?
Look, the streets love the saucy Nugs, according to my timeline. But the reality is you're going up against a Clippers team that is deep, a Clippers team that has been put on notice, a Clippers team that has Kawhi Leonard, who has the opportunity, if he so chooses, to win this game, advance, and sort of take a position as the guy in the NBA. So I see the Clippers as a team to beat, But the Nugs are having a fantastic run.
I'm going Clippers on this one, and we got added bonus NBA playoff coverage from an unlikely source. Halsey apparently has an NBA account that is blowing up right now, and she tweeted, "I have zero predictions for tonight because the Nuggets are playing with unbridled confidence, but the Clips have so much to prove right now they might have a little fight in them. It's hard to make realistic call on anything can happen in Game 7. I'm honestly so excited. Chaotic neutral." We have extended the official Twitter invite for her to be our NBA playoffs correspondent from here on out.
Everyone go and tag Halsey and one. I love it.
Halsey and one. We're trying to get her on the show here, so help us out. We shoot our shot with Halsey. We're going to see a lot of people shoot their shot tonight. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Coverage beginning here on ESPN Radio. Coming up right after this, Heat Culture. The Boston Celtics. Who's going to possibly will out in this one? I know the Lebatard crew will have plenty of reaction, as will we tomorrow here on Janae and Golic Jr.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.